Welcome to BEN,
Blockchain Education Network.
The largest and longest running network of students, alumni, and professors excited about blockchain across the world. A podcast for students by students, sharing their vision that anyone, regardless of wherever they are in the world, will be able to use blockchain as a vehicle to create wealth for themselves and their communities. This is BEN,
the Blockchain Education Network.
Welcome back to the Blockchain Education Network podcast. My name is Eric. I'm the president of Blockchain Education Network. And today I'm joined by my friend, Chet. Can you introduce yourself and tell us where you're from and what you do?
Sure. Hey, Eric. Good to see you again. Chet Manikantan. I'm originally from India. I grew up there. I'm a software engineer, worked at Microsoft Research, dabbled with startups for a while, had a few spectacular failures and a few moderate successes. I've been in the crypto since my engineering because a sort of cryptography was more like fun. It's a lot of interesting stuff that was going on. I built the first encryption device for the Indian Defense Company as part of my thesis project, which apparently is still being used. It sort of piqued my interest about Bitcoin as a result. And moving to Boston changed my world because there was an underworld of a lot of crypto people working on super cool projects. And then I got involved with the MIT DCI and Bitcoin Club. And that's where I met you as well.
Yeah. So yeah. We saw the Boston community kind of grow. It was very small before we were there. And, you know, it was a bear market almost for a long time. Bull market 2017, 2018. I think that's when a lot of people started joining the club, but there were also other communities. So you mentioned the MIT DCI. You know, what other community meetups did you attend or where did you go to network? Like, how did you make your connections?
So a lot of that was going on like, you know, you had people connecting on Reddit and other sort of forums, right? It wasn't so much like events, so to speak. And then some of the conversations were usually online. And I found out Poloniex guys were just outside the city. David Warwick, Sai Coin was in the city. Mm. Then, of course, Michael Casey had written a book and he's joined the group that at the Media Lab. And then we used to meet at the Muddy Bar at the MIT a few times, which is kind of the event, really. It's like just getting a few beers and talking about stuff. This was 2016, I think.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, from there to where you are now, because you're not in Boston anymore now, or are you?
No, I live in New York City now.
Okay. Yeah. And so did you move to work on your new company or was that unrelated to that?
It was personal at the time. I still have a foot in Boston, but New York City was sort of, I always wanted to live here and I had some personal reasons to move here.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about the company that you work on now.
Yeah. So we started, this company is known as Stonk League. We started thinking about it last summer during the COVID pandemic. We saw a major shift in how retail investors were engaging with the market. A lot of people had time, they were at home, they had extra capital because they were not spending it on social leisurely activities. So people started participating in retail trading on the stocks and crypto quite a lot. There was a huge spike. Robinhood added like 4 million new traders in that 3 months. One of the things, the side effects that we started seeing is that a lot of people were novice and amateurs were getting into the space, but not really understanding what they were doing. At the same time, we found that a lot of these people were following so-called finfluencers, but there is no way for them to verify the claims made by these finfluencers. And a lot of them make really good predictions. The question is, who is the right person, who is not? Like, separating the wheat from the chaff is a big problem. My co-founder, who has been a prolific sort of an influencer since 2014, he had like 100,000 plus people following him. So he had similar experiences where someone else was sort of copying his trades and his tweets and sort of becoming like his, you know, a fake account. So we sort of took some of those aspects and said, okay, let's build a fantasy like layer of abstraction, which allows people to engage with the markets, where you're able to get the upsides of getting something right, but are protected from the downsides of getting something wrong as a result of some bad advice that you probably heard on TikTok or Twitter or something. So, and then we realized that taking the principles of sports, where how do we know Tom Brady is the greatest of all time? It's because he plays games that we can all publicly watch. His statistics are auditable, right? And he, over a period of time, has climbed the leaderboard, and it's undisputable that he is the greatest of all time in the football, right? So similar principles we want to apply to crypto. If Eric Pinos is the greatest of all time, how do we know? Because his statistics back him up. And that is all sort of gamified in the platform.
Yeah.
So you earn your badges, points, and it's a dynamic leaderboard, so you have to stay competitive to be on that.
Right. And it's a dApp, it's on chain, so people can come in and see what trades are being made. And
so as of now, we are not on chain, but we're working on it. We do plan to get to that within the next 6 months. As of now, just because we wanted to focus more on the user experience and just ensuring that the product works.
Yeah.
So we focused on that as the first. We went live like two or three weeks ago. We already added about 400, but we wanted to do that first before we go on chain, because usually that becomes a challenge for most teams. They get stuck in solving those problems and they don't get the user traction that they need to understand and make changes for how the user experiences the product.
How do you find more users? Social media, conferences, like crypto groups and Telegram? Like what's your marketing strategy?
So far it's been organic. It's coupled by a couple of different things. One, Jordan, my co-founder, has sort of an entrenched sort of in the space. He knows a lot of people. So we contacted some of them. They all signed on because they're themselves sort of influencers in the community. So they each person brought like 50, 100 people so far. And we're also working with other massive influencers who have 50,000, 20,000 followers to come and work with us to see if there's a way they can harness the platform while becoming legitimate themselves in the eyes of their followers. And their followers are able to also then see if there's a way they can engage with this platform.
Hmm. And do you have like a referral system to incentivize people to bring their friends in?
Yes, we do. We are obviously being a little bit careful to not make false promises. So we do have certain sign up bonuses and referral bonuses and some sort of a program that is available on the platform. We have two kinds. One is for the North American and international, the very different programs, keeping in line with the regulatory challenges that we have.
Yeah. Yeah. What sort of regulatory challenges are you facing? And is it depend on the location? Because I imagine the US is more restrictive. But then also, like, if it's mainly paper trading, right? Is it not as bad as if it was trading real money, or is there real money that can be traded and therefore that makes you subject to regulations? How are you guys navigating that?
So subject to regulations is a tough one because we don't know, right? The uncertainty over regulations is the biggest challenges faced by all founders and entrepreneurs right now in the US. We don't know. There's no definition of what is regulation, right? Or what is regulated and who is a regulatory authority. So to not get into that sort of quagmire of the uncertainty, what we've done is anyone coming from the North American markets, we have a geofence. So for them, they only do sort of monopoly money. But then anyone outside of the United States is able to use real ETH to play those games. So it's not real cash, but it's real ETH.
I see.
That's the strategy for now.
Yeah. And taking a step back, talk about the team. So you said you met your co-founder. The team, is it mainly remote? Do you guys have an office?
We don't have an office. We do have a WeWork membership, which we use to do, which we use for whiteboarding sessions.
Yeah.
Nothing beats a whiteboarding. But then we mostly work remotely. So we both are in the city, New York, in Manhattan. We do have a distributed team. So we have one person in New Jersey. We have three people out of India. We have one person in Europe at the moment and one in South Korea.
And so do they have previous blockchain-specific experience, or did you bring on traditional people and kind of teach them on the job?
I would say 20% are completely new. They are phenomenal developers and programmers, but they haven't really been exposed to blockchain. So we have about 20% of the team and about 30%, myself, Jordan, Kevin. We all have been in the space for a long time, so at least 6-7. And then there's another three or four people who are kind of have been dabbling with the crypto. Like they've been trading, they've been buying some stuff since 2016, 2017, but they're not really they haven't contributed to the community in an active capacity. So, but they bring a lot of useful skill sets. So we're sort of a blend of three worlds, if you will. Yeah.
So that's interesting. Yeah. Cause we, one of the questions that we get a lot from students and even just people in the space is, what courses should I take? What should I know so that when I talk to these companies, or apply for these jobs, I'm more likely to get it, right? Cause there's not really too much like formal training around blockchain. So, what would you recommend for students that are don't know too much about blockchain, but they want to get into this space. Do you think that the best way is conferences, is online communities? Should they be taking courses, or should they just be trying to like go on chain and do stuff?
Doing stuff is the best way, right? That's the best way to learn. And the best part about blockchain community is it's such an open community. People are willing to help. And everything is out there, right? There's no trade secret. There's no such thing as, you know, learning on the job of a company's way of doing things. Because pretty much every one of the really good decentralized project has all the documentation publicly available. All their code is publicly available. The team is easily accessible to you, to anybody through Discord and through Telegram. Mostly Discord, you can actually talk to the, like, I'm available to speak to all of our Discord members if they want to talk to me one-on-one. I think that is something so fundamentally different from the traditional way of doing business. I think people should just start doing it. And then I've noticed, like, one of the hires we got actually was someone who we started seeing him active on the Discord. And the things he said was so good. We were like, okay, we need to see if there's a way this person is available. So we scheduled a time and we started having a conversation. And he's like, oh, I'm like this and that. Okay, so what kind of role are you guys looking for? I said, no, we find the right person. And once we like that person, we'll create a role for that person. You define what you want to do, right? Because this whole thing is about changing the paradigm. So I think people are so set on shoehorning things to roles that they're not looking at it from a like out of the box perspective.
Yeah.
So I think that's the cool thing about it. So getting started is the best way.
Yeah. You got to be go-getters. You got to carve your role out. We carved our own roles. We mm-hmm. joined the MIT Bitcoin Club and like in less than a few months, we were running it.
Yeah, I know.
And the expo during the bull market, like that was
a phenomenal
quite
time.
The time. Yeah.
Yeah. I think at the time, one of the things that I really enjoyed doing with you with the expo was very few people were focused on trying to find the signal. There was so much like noise at the time. Things have improved a lot now, like 2017 to 2021. There are more avenues for people to find good information. But back then, there was just a lot of nonsense, right? So people were really confused, scared. And the conference became the platform for us to become that signal. We wanted to bring the best in class in every single product, I think. Yeah. And we kept it sort of a balanced academic, but also open to public. The content, I think I love doing that with you. So yeah, it was a great time.
I think people really value that. And it's a really good filter. You know, people just looking at stuff online or looking at projects, how do you think that they can filter noise? How do you look for the signal? How do you avoid scams and spam and all these like low quality projects?
The usual best practices. I mean, scams and spams are, you know, we get them for other things like, you know, offers and coupons for not just crypto. It happens pretty much every day. You open your mailbox, you'll find a lot of spam, right? So you already know what to pick and what not to. You just have to sort of bring those same muscle memory into crypto as well. It's not that scary. It's not that. It's just that you know that, okay, there is good things going on in the space. There's also bad things going on in the space. But as long as you believe the good things is what you're looking for, you'll find it. It's the same way when I open my mailbox, I only find my utility bill. I don't care about all the other junk.
Yeah.
Because I already know what it is. I think that's just the way it is. And for what it's worth, for a lot of people that want to look for signal, there are some really good people on Twitter who have a legitimate voice in the space. CoinDesk is doing a great job in getting, you know, things out there for people. Pretty much every single project have sort of their own media team. And they're sort of engaging with the community directly through their Discord channels. They have Telegram, Twitter, and all these social media avenues. Apart from that, if you just go to their website, they typically have everything you need to know about the project. And I know it's a little bit more work, but, you know, that's just, it's better to learn on your own than the hard way, you know?
Right. I think spam also, they when they reach out to you, it's very taking mentality. Buy our token, invest in us, join our team. Like it's very, like I still remember one of my favorite memories with you was when you showed me an email in Boston. You showed me an email from an ICO that wanted you to invest with them and you sent it directly to spam. You just forwarded. Right. You're like, all right, I forward to spam. It's like, I don't even look at it because it was so bad. It was so bad in 2018. We had people reaching out to come speak at the club all the time.
Yep.
And it was a problem because if we brought them in, that would bring the legitimacy to it because they're like, oh, we spoke at MIT.
Right.
There was one guy, I'm not going to say his name, but remember he presented at MIT and then later he's like, oh, we launched at MIT. I'm like, no, you didn't. You presented. So I feel like for us, you know, as being those gatekeepers is very important, especially for us to filter these projects and kind of help, you know, find the signal and expose people to the signal so they can find those opportunities.
Yeah, and you know, I think I probably missed this before, but you're right. Blockchain Education Network is probably a great signal. I mean, what you guys are doing is phenomenal, right? You're that sort of citadel of crypto for students. Like, it's sort of like the first step when you're trying to get out of school, which is a very methodical, very traditional way of learning, to a completely decentralized, completely open system, and you're bridging that gap. I think if people within, especially students, are looking to learn about crypto, I think Blockchain Education Network is the best avenue, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, nonprofit, right? Focus on education. What do students want to learn? Teaching about every different kind of thing.
Right.
Do you think that it's kind of, you know, for students and what people should be doing, do you think that everybody should be trying to trade crypto, or do you think most people is just buy and hold Bitcoin?
I think people should. It's sort of traditional asset management, like you portfolio theory. So you don't want to put everything in one basket. I know I love Bitcoin. I think it's a great asset. It's a great store of value. But, you know, you don't just store value. You want to also maximize your return. And sort of learning and engaging and supporting these projects is a great way for you to participate in those networks, as well as potentially get more alpha, more upside for yourself. I know there's a bit of risk. I don't advocate, this is not a financial advice, but don't put like 50% of your money in Bitcoin, or don't put 100% of your money in Bitcoin, but put what do you think is your safe percentage of money to be in Bitcoin? What do you think is something that can take, like, sort of speculative risk can be on other kinds of projects that excite you, that resonate with you, speak to you, you think you're going to use the product or the service. I think end of the day, it really comes down to not just speculation, but also a project that you think is going to change your life in some way. And then sort of the token is really your ownership in that, in the success of that project.
Yeah. Yeah, because these tokens are also useful, right? You don't just buy it and then watch it go up. Most of them, now you can use it to vote in the protocols and participate in the ecosystem. So you're really a part of these communities while you're also invested in them.
Right. It's one of the best things about the way crypto has changed the dynamic is that traditionally you had the vote with your hands, vote with your feet, and vote with your pockets. So you have, you know, voting with your hands is really participating in the elections, and voting with your feet is you're moving places because the regulatory or the environment is not safe for you. And then voting with your pocket is like when you choose to go from A service to a B service because the A is not serving you really well. You blended all of that in crypto. You can vote with your feet, your hands, and in your pocket in one, you know, in one go with your MetaMask, which is what is such a different perspective. And I think the moment people start recognizing this is going to be the next big thing.
Yeah, I think like I told you on Monday that there's this company that I used to love and everything about them was like amazing, was perfect. And then I you know, through them talking to me, I realized how elitist they were, and I sold off all of my holdings of their token. Like, I actually did that. You know, vote with your money. You can actually do that now,
right,
which I think is a really, really flips the dynamic and gives a lot of power to the communities, a lot of power to people that previously you just had to deal with whatever companies wanted to throw your way.
Right. You technically did all three, right? There's you took away the political power, and then you took away the capital, and you also you moved away from that project to another project without having to leave the country or without having to do any of that, which is why it's a completely different way to engage with each other in public.
Yeah. We're coming up on our time. Are there any closing thoughts you'd like to leave the audience with?
The best thing I can say is have fun while you do it. Be careful. Keep an open mind and use your own critical thinking skills and your own analytical skills to understand which one's signal and which one's not. There's a lot of great things in this space. Once you start recognizing the pattern, you will easily be able to separate the wheat from the chaff.
Got it. Thank you, Chet. This was fun. We got to do a longer one.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks so much for having me, and I look forward to seeing you again.
This was another episode of BEN,
Blockchain Education Network.
Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes. Also, keep up with us on Twitter and Instagram @BlockchainEDU, and visit our YouTube channel for more valuable blockchain content.